The group from our parish who returned from the Holy Land just before Christmas reported to me that on the whole they were underwhelmed by Bethlehem. Since I was there 25 years ago, the politicians have taken their best shot at sprucing up Bethlehem, the dusty little Palestinian-controlled town of Jesus' nativity. In the old days, tourists would take the bus ride over from Jerusalem, get out, scurry into the Church of the Nativity, take their pictures, get back on the bus, and head back to the big city. Nobody lingered in Bethlehem. So the powers that be decided to build a luxury hotel and turned a dingy car park into a shopping mall in an attempt to transform poor Bethlehem into a place where tourists would want to go and spend their money. Money poured in from all over the world to help with the project, but there were charges of political corruption, money lining politicians' pocket, and the whole thing bogged down in red tape. What else is new? Poor Bethlehem, grimy, politically corrupt, caught between two warring peoples, hardly the place for a celebration of Christmas. But the truth is that Bethlehem is Christmas. Today's gospel takes place in Bethlehem. The other day, one of you said to me, "I just can't believe what President Obama has done." "Really," I said, "I can. Of course, I'm a Christian, so I'm conditioned to believe that politicians, in truth, anybody in power, is capable of almost anything." And I realized that I'm conditioned by a lifetime of going to church and hearing not too nice stories about politicians. Here, Christmas is barely 3 days or 12 verses old, and already Matthew inserts this horrible story of King Herod's massacre of the boy babies in Bethlehem, which is appointed for today. King Herod the Great, threatened by talk of a new king of the Jews, massacred all the boy babies around Bethlehem. Down through the ages, innumerable kings and governments, dictators and parliaments have murdered Jews. Today's gospel is about that. How this story contrasts with our cherished views of Christmas. O little town of Bethlehem, how still we see thee lie. O little town of Bethlehem is made miserable by the death of these babies, streets running red with blood while mothers wail and lament their children. That's the way the Bible does Bethlehem. Let there be peace on earth, and let it begin with me, we sing. Christmas cards are sentimental. TV tells of snow-covered wonderlands where Christmas evokes the best in everybody. Well, the first Christmas evoked bloodshed in King Herod. Matthew's Christmas pageant ends not with tinsel-covered angels proclaiming goodwill, but with Rachel weeping for her slaughtered children. Christmas in Bethlehem, the real Bethlehem. Herod was no fool. He'd been in power long enough to tell a rival when he saw one. What the dumb shepherds might see as a baby, a distant relative of David, Herod knew to be a threat to everything upon which his kingdom was based. Thus, Herod joins the other great leaders of our age, Hitler, Pol Pot, Stalin, Mao, who did not mind a little murder in order to advance their great political ideals. The world calls it Iraq, which we determined we had to devastate in order to bring peace to the Near East, or Syria, where the world stood quietly by amid genocide, or Havana's oppression that we don't want to condemn because we'd like to develop some resorts there. The world calls it Bosnia, Beirut, Belfast, Beijing. The Bible calls it Bethlehem. We don't like this Christmas story. Not as many of us here today as there were on Christmas Eve to hear tell of the shepherds and the angels and the baby Jesus. Christmas for us has become an escapist fantasy, that one day of the year everybody becomes miraculously transformed, like Scrooge who suddenly does right by Tiny Tim. It's hard to be honest about ourselves and our situation in Branson or Birmingham or Boca Raton, but the Bible tells the truth about Bethlehem. If we can turn down the muzak in the shopping mall for just a moment, we might hear the mothers screaming, weeping for their lost babies, wherever the slaughter of the innocents is reenacted. Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing. And so we lie about the Christmas story. I remember about a decade ago there was a best-selling book, The Celestine Prophecy. Aside from my reservations about bad grammar and syntax, one might also why this saccharine spirituality was so greedily received. Well, it was part of an avalanche of New Age affirmation. We are good. We are making progress. We mean well. We're doing the best we can. Meditate. Marinate in a hot tub. Unleash the good and the God within you. Only an age which has produced Hiroshima and the Holocaust could so earnestly need to lie about ourselves and our affinity to Herod. In the midst of perhaps one of the bloodiest epics the world has ever known, if you just count up the bodies killed by their own governments, to say nothing of the wars, or a year on the streets in any U.S. city, we are beckoned to by the Bible to Bethlehem. I remember, I think of Buffalo, where I'll never forget a decade ago, a doctor who had aborted thousands of fetuses was gunned down in his own home by somebody who did it because he believes in the right to life. We just don't know any other way to get what we want save by violence. We smooth our violence over with calls for right to life or freedom of choice. Matthew calls it Bethlehem. A while ago, someone came into my office. She was talking about her marriage. It seems her husband had asked her for a divorce. She still loved her husband. She believed the marriage was salvageable. She loved him, but he was gone. She was crushed and confused. If it's love, she said in her misery, why does it have to hurt so much? Why does it have to be so painful? Love ought not to be that way, she said. Love, real love, is always that way, I said. It's always painful. Because if there's going to be love, there's going to be risk. And if there's going to be risk, there's going to be the possibility of pain. Or, as the letter to the Hebrews puts it, Christ did not come to the angels, but to the people living in real places on a real earth. Not to angels, but to us in Bethlehem. Love came down at Christmas, we sing. If love, God's love, is to come down to us, not to angels, but to us, there's going to be pain and there's going to be blood, and some will get hurt, for we are very hurtful in our loves and our hates. If our allegiances are to be dethroned, it will not be pretty. We hold on tight to our gods, and we don't let them go without them being pulled from us. At Bethlehem, we see a prelude to the events later in a place called Calvary. The one called the King of the Jews goes head to head with our kings and our kingdoms, and there is pain, and there is violence, and there is weeping, and there is blood. All for us and for our salvation. All in the name of love. And it begins in Bethlehem. Amen.